Hello, if you just joined us, you're watching Stockwatch. Tackling your questions in studio this evening, Ricus Riedes from PSG Wealth, Paul Chakaduka from GT247.com. Don't forget, send us those questions, SMS 41392, or email stockwatch@bdtv.co.za, or tweet us BusinessDayTV using the hashtag Stockwatch. Gents, evening. So every Monday I'm here, I complain. Monday it's red. Today it's green for all the wrong reasons. Toppy up 0.6, India 0.6, Resi 1.2, Finney off 0.8, ZAR was 14.30 when I left home a few hours ago, almost 15.50 earlier today. Contagion, I mean, Rick, is some contagion, Turkey.
Yeah.
We're not helping ourselves, but frankly, I mean, it got ugly out there early this morning, sort of 3 o'clock in the morning.
Certainly, yeah. You know, I was thinking Thanksgiving is only in November and Turkey's already getting slaughtered. Yeah, a lot of that has to do with what's happening with Turkey, how far it can spread, if it's going to spread, if it's going to affect resources, if it's going to affect resource-producing countries like ourselves. So a lot of negative news on top of the fact that it is August, the Europeans are on holiday.
Yeah.
So there's not a lot showing towards the sea at the moment. It's all looking back at this moment.
And the thing, Paul, you're probably too young to remember 1998. Well, to remember the markets in 1998.
Second year at university, but yeah.
There we go. Me and Rick is for there. We got the scars to prove it.
Yeah.
I mean, it can just be, you know, a small little. I mean, then it was the Asian Tigers.
And,
yeah. And by the end of the year, we might look back at Turkey and it was a small blip that happened in the year. We might look back at Turkey and be the reason we're mired in crisis. How are you guys in your trading desk playing this? Or was it really just minute by minute at this point?
I think it's minute by minute, but I think Turkey's really, you know, got themselves in this situation on their own. And again, you know, they're running this twin deficit like we are domestically. But I think how Turkey has been able to get to its current state is because they've been able to borrow a lot of money from their neighbors or borrow a lot of money out of in US dollar terms. And they've used that money to go and, you know, do these mega projects in terms of infrastructure build and. And what's happening now is essentially you've had two presidents who don't really understand economics. One president says, okay, fine, we're going to increase tariffs, and that has actually, you know, caused the lira to devalue even further. I think if Turkey aren't able to, you know, get to a situation where they're able to negotiate themselves out of this mess, I think, you know, this crisis might be prolonged. But I think domestically for South Africa, what we normally see or what we've seen for the last 10 years is that you normally get these big spikes up in the rand, but it normally or there's a normal naturalization back to call it the 50 or 200 day moving averages. So we're not in a state of panic. We've seen these moves in the rand before, and I think, you know, the rand is going to move back naturally. A lot of the hot money has moved out of South Africa, and I think the sticky money and the clever money might actually be, you know, looking for a move back. So we're pretty comfortable. We've seen this before, and I think it's going to play out or unravel easily in the next couple of days.
Rick, it's a fair point. We've seen this before. I mean, 98 it happened. It happened 2001. It happened when Nkankanene got fired. I can never remember how many finance ministers ago that was.
Yeah.
Your message to your clients today?
A similar kind of thing in the sense of this is an extreme move, and always watch out for that. But if one does look back at what specifically the rand dollar has been doing, it's been going strong for in the medium, what, about 2 years?
Yeah.
Two and a half. And if you just take a look at that trend, I think today's move, and certainly even if we stabilize it around about the 14 to the dollar level, that strengthening trend at least, you can say, has probably been broken. So whether we go sideways or even just stabilize at these levels, I think one can say for the moment, the rand's probably not going to go a heck of a lot stronger. So if you want to panic, as I said before the show, you've got to sort of panic in the right direction. And I think that direction is probably a sideways to a weakening in the rand versus the US dollar, which is really quite strong against every other single currency apart from the yen, maybe.
So what you're saying is my bet on 11 to the rand is going to take a little bit longer, because that has no timeline. Don't laugh. The bet has no timeline on it, except that I get a bottle of whiskey. Let's go to some stats out today. Rikus Sapi, I thought they were modest to poor. The market said they were poor to horrid. That quarterly update was not fun in the least.
Yeah, I thought there was a lot of expectation built into it. Maybe a lot of people looked at Mondi and said, well, Sapi next. So that expectation bubble was burst, but I don't think the quarterly update was bad. I thought it was pretty solid. And even if you look a little bit deeper into it, a lot of it had to do with increased depreciation because of cap spend and also a strong rand versus the US dollar. So the capex, you've got to understand, a bit of an overspend, that's going to happen with big capital projects. And obviously, as I've just said, I don't think rand strength is really what we're going to look forward to in the next 3 to 6 months.
The Mondi numbers were great, and between the two paper companies, I mean, I used to say I'd rather buy a gold stock than a paper stock, but I mean, Mondi certainly blew it. Sapi really has been coming right. Do you see this as maybe a short blip, and maybe the market over-responded down almost 10% today?
Yeah, it was down, I think 9-odd% at the close of business. On our days, I think we still think there's a bit more downside to come in the stock, especially after this call it exaggeration today. But if it moves back down, call it back down to about 90-odd rand, I think it's a good level to start picking stock up. The numbers missed market expectations, but I think management had guided in line with what they've indicated in their trading statement. And we always try and not really look at the trading spread and rather wait for the final numbers and rather look for the little nitty-gritties within the statement and also what management have got to say. Trading statements are always in a lot of cases very vague and don't give you a lot of detail. But from what we've got so far, I think if it does pull back in that region, call it 90 odd, you would want to put some money in it. Again, they've got, I think, a very diverse cash flow in terms of geography, and I think we've moved away from that strong dependence on South Africa, and a lot of it is from North America and Europe.
Yeah.
And I think that's something what we really like. And at the same time, I think the business has transformed itself naturally over the years. It being this almost dinosaur and about to die.
Yeah, and glossy magazines was its claim.
Yeah, and has transformed itself into something which I think a lot of us never imagined 5-10 years ago. And I think now I think management are really beginning to reap the rewards. But I think again, it's about taking that business to the next level. So I think market really priced in perfection. If it it doesn't recover from here, I'll be really surprised.
Question coming through from Martin. It says, very puzzled. Into advanced as we expect in early morning with the falling rand, sold off heavily, losing 3% on the day. Is it just Into being out of favor? But we certainly saw the rand, and in fact the market as a whole, come off the highs into the afternoon.
I didn't track Into specifically on the day, but I think the broader question on Into is whether they're...
Yeah.
Shopping centers are taking strain, and specifically from online shopping. As far as I can see, there's sort of two camps to that. It's being overdone and it's not that bad. And the other camp saying, well, it's bad and it's going to get worse. These guys are not being able to basically replace their tenants. Because of competition from online shopping, and therefore what you are seeing now as an income stream from those shopping centres in the UK is under threat.
So are you it's going to get better or it's going to get worse side of the camp?
I'm on the don't get involved in that
don't
kind of
involved.
Argument with Into. If you want to take a look at distressed shopping centres, I would rather have a broader geographical look. Specifically, I think there's some companies in the US which which possibly have been even worse than Intu, so maybe go and take a look at that. Otherwise, follow the trend and see which online shopping ventures, Amazon is the obvious example, is doing well, and just stick your money in that.
Yeah, in fact, I interviewed someone a few weeks ago. They have a fund, and they physically buy distribution warehouses for the online guys, and that would be
that.
The,
that yeah. is the one specifically over here that I'm quite interested in. It's called Equities Property, and doing that in the UK, I think also in Europe, and specifically here as well. So maybe that's another way of playing that market.
Paul, Intu, are you watching? Are you expecting worse? Certainly trend is down. Are you trying to catch this knife?
I think we're expecting worse because the number of other factors. This week alone, I think we've got a lot of UK data in terms of inflation and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
We've already seen the pound weakening in the last, call it, 6 months, quite a bit. I think now we've got a 27 handle on cable. I think we're also going to see inflation doing quite a bit in the UK. What we've seen on the main streets in the UK hasn't been great. Going to Rikus's point that people are really struggling. People are struggling to even put food on their tables in the UK. So talking about these, you know, high-end glossy supermarkets, I think, you know, that cycle's potentially gone, and now we need to potentially find, you know, some retail property guys that have you know, a strong base and could potentially, you know, weather this storm out. So I think it's really a Brexit story for us. Brexit has really had a massive impact on businesses like Intu over the last 2 years.
Yeah, and the currency just isn't enough to save what is, frankly, from both of you, not a fun story in the least.
Yeah.
Let's take up for a quick break. Keep sending through your questions. SMS us on 41392 or email stockwatch@bdtv.co.za. We'll be right back after this. Welcome back. Let's take a quick look at how international markets are doing. We've got the S&P down 0.25%, the Nasdaq off 0.1%, and the Dow Jones in the US almost 0.3% weaker. Across in Europe, we had a red day across the board. The FTSE 100 in London down 0.33%. The CAC around 40 out of France, a couple of handful of points down. And the DAX 30 trading out of Frankfurt, Germany, off just over 0.5% on the day. Still with me in studio, Rikus Redders from PSG Wealth, Paul Chakaduka from GT247.com. Gents, some questions coming through. Choppies, we were talking around before the show. They've been in the market a couple of years. Mm-hmm. They're focused on initially Botswana, Northern KZN, the Platinum Belt, Zimbabwe. None of it attractive. The share being under pressure. Rikus, any hope for it?
Yeah, I don't follow it. And as we discussed, I mean, they're basically at the low end of retail, and ShopRite is the king there. So that's a heck of a competitor to go up against, unless you've got a serious advantage. And the only thing you can really, I mean, just top of my head, I mean, you'll have to compete on price. And how do you do that if you don't have mass? So so no, it's not. I think there are far better players in that retail space.
Yeah, I mean, Paul, you're competing with ShopRite, and Rikus says they're the king. They're not just the king. They're one of the best on planet Earth in terms of this. You haven't got scale. This is a tough game.
Yeah, it is a very, very tough game. And I think, you know, you've given a very good example in terms of ShopRite. And they've been able to, you know, benefit from the economies of scale. They've also have a fairly good geographic distribution. And at the same time, I think they are in a position, you know, number one, to negotiate better with suppliers. And I think they've also tested the waters over time. They've been to parts of Africa where they've struggled, and they've, you know, set themselves in these markets, these waters would rather not play, although they are a fairly a big player. But I think, you know, if you look at Choppies, they came in, I think, got a P of 29, if memory serves me right. That share price has halved, more than halved in price over time. I think when they first came, they were very expensive. And I think today, you know, a lot of people have bought them at 6 Rand or 5 Rand back then, again, asking themselves questions. They're also trying to stretch their arm into Eastern Africa. But in East Africa, you've got big competition from the likes of Nakumatt. I think they will struggle to find their feet within that space. Not one for me.
Not one for you. A question coming through around Santam. Trading update today, HEPS around 69 to 75% higher. Significantly improved underwriting results, slightly better margins, and no fires, no floods, and all of those sort of things. Question coming through is around, the share didn't do much on that news. Is it a case of already expected, perhaps to your point, that trading updates a bit light on hard information? Your take on Santam?
Yeah, I was really surprised. Didn't do much. Again, we tend to look at trading statements with a pinch of salt and rather wait for the final detail. And I'm not really excited when I see a trading statement until I get the final hard piece of paper and see what's in it. So I'm not really going to comment much. Yeah.
Rick, is Santam?
Yeah, I mean, considering the rest of the financial market, Santam has been holding pretty well over the past few weeks. And they've had a good year, no floods and burning buildings and stuff like that. But you know it's going to happen at some stage. And what bothers me is, and I haven't seen the latest update, but we've got about, according to the US Weather Bureau, about a 70% chance of drought again this year. So it's not, and that unfortunately is the kind of situation where you don't want to be a short-term insurer, not only because of the drought, but dry weather, and you've got another fire going. So watch out for that. So they've held up, or the prices held up pretty well. Great. It's a good, solid company. Wonderful. I'm just worried about the vagaries of results year to year with that.
And the other thing that drives insurers, and maybe less so to short-term insurers than long-term, is market performance.
Of course, yeah.
And we have seen about nothing in what, about 4 years.
Yeah, if you have to make up for that risk of your disaster coming by how your investments are placed, and it's a difficult market. I mean, we all know that.
It has been. Question coming through in the SMS lines. First Rand going back to 70 Rand anytime soon? Not sure where First Rand is lurking these days.
You're 63, 64.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. So not by 10% away. Rick, is your take on First Rand?
Great company. They've had a heck of a run as far as banks are concerned. They're having about a 3.5% correction today. I think it's done probably a little bit too much. So before it gets to 70, I would possibly expect them to go and revisit 60 first.
And perhaps a better opportunity at 60 with a bit of patience.
Yeah.
Paul?
Well, I concur. I think it's our favoured bank in terms of in terms of top four banks. Yeah. But I think it's run quite hard. And also, with all the machinations in the financial markets, I think we could see that stock moving lower. I think below 60, you'd want to have a look at it.
Yeah. A question coming through around Esau, filed for business rescue today. Share was not suspended when I last checked. Yeah. Trading at 4 cents. Question on Twitter earlier. Is there any hope for this? Do I hold on and hope, or raise the pennies by selling it?
Gosh, depends on how much you can raise by it. But I mean, okay, business rescue is what it is. And
even coming out the other side is
is a long and laborious process. There's a lot of people to get paid before you, the shareholder, gets a return. If you're what interests me is seeing that Esau news coming through and Wilson Bailey goes up. So whatever remains is going to be taken up by the guys who are still in business. So
maybe take the pennies and try something else.
Possibly. Although, I mean, again, it's such a it's very easy for something like that to go from 4 to 8 cents, and everybody goes like, why didn't I keep my...
The standoff went from 1 to 3, and people on Twitter still remind me. The point is, we saw it with African Bank. These processes are very, very long and slow. And in that time, I mean, you're almost, I mean, it could also go to 2 cents.
Yes.
Yeah. But again, I think it's about how long you're prepared to wait. And I think a lot of especially retail investors, aren't aware that this process can drag on for a very long time. And at the same time, you know, if it does drag on for a very long time, you know, what are you going to get at the end of it? Yeah. You could still only get, I don't know, half of what you currently have, or even less. So I would rather take the money off the table, whatever's left, and see if you can, you know, find another home for it. But yeah, definitely not in the construction sector.
Yeah, I think probability is not on your side. And after all, this whole thing we are doing is probability. What's the easiest way for money to flow? Hopefully upwards. And the unfortunately, the easiest way for money to flow and things going well at the point or at very close to bankruptcy is going bankrupt. So you don't want to bet against that. I agree with Paul.
Take the money rather. And also at some point it might get suspended, in which case you're now locked in and you've got this horrible thing looking at you every time you log into your portfolio. Paul's asking about British American Tobacco. Does it seem to have bottomed? Weaker currency could help. Is it on your list? It certainly had a tough, about a year or so it was tending south.
It's having a wonderful rally in a downtrend in rand terms and also in US dollar terms. So for me, the long-term trend in this thing is down, unfortunately. I think it's a great company and everything that goes with it. And the current rally looks as if it can extend even further. But do not forget the fact that for the past 2-3 years, this thing is in a downtrend.
And therefore, perhaps if you're in it and looking it out, this rally could be an opportunity to take that money out.
I mean, anything can happen, but that's where I am sitting. In other words, I am riding this rally with the third of allocation or forward allocation that I've got and waiting for it to reach a point where I can say, okay, is this trend changing or not? At that point, I'll make a further decision. But for the moment, I think it's just a recovery.
Okay, enjoy it while it's on go. That's a fair point. Poor British American Tobacco.
Yeah, it's one of the stocks we've liked for a while. But I think we've spoken about it a number of times on the show. I think it bottomed out just above 600. It's run hard now, call it 760. Technically, it looks strong above these levels. However, I think the update we had from them a few weeks ago, you know, I think it's a much better picture than what the market had anticipated, especially from the legal standpoint. And at the same time, we also started seeing the Reynolds deal starting to flow through their numbers. And I think that's a big positive for British American Tobacco. So if it, from a technical perspective, if it stays above 760, I think your next target could be in around 800 to 820.
Sure. Okay, so we're staying for now. We've got to go to stock picks. Quick one came through around, aren't you worried in the bank space around all the new banks coming? My response is typically they must first come and prove themselves.
Why should anyone be worried? I think this is, you know, banking space is a very exciting and dynamic place. And I think a lot of the banks have been really, you know, sitting on their laurels. And I think it's time that a lot of them woke up. I'm not as worried. I'm excited about the financial services space at the moment.
Because, I mean, they first round survived many competitions.
That's
over
a wonderful
the year.
Sentiment, and I agree with Paul completely there.
Okay, let's go to some stock picks, because you're going with Sappi, which we spoke about earlier. It took a pounding today. You're saying, no worries, you think it's a decent-looking stock.
I think today's price movement was overdone to the downside as the build-up to the results were overdone. Paul has done, or said a lot of fundamentally good things that I totally agree with him. But I just want to add to that, you know, it's interesting that the one sector in that update that did well was specialty packaging. And I don't think, taking a longer term view on the industry itself, specialty packaging is going to remain specialty packaging. It's going to be mainstream packaging.
It's going to be packaging.
The French are instituting penalties for people that are using once-off plastic packaging today. So it's a sector that's exciting. Sappi has done a lot of work in that space, and I think even with CapEx spend, even with strong currency, you can't deny that sector, I think, is for the foreseeable future as much as we can foresee.
And that's specialty packaging. I mean, the way iPhones came, everyone comes with it. I remember getting a Motorola in a plastic packet, literally. Paul, you're going with BHP Billiton.
Yeah, Billiton, very quickly, they've realized, I think, over the last 2 years where their real strength is. They've decided to, you know, cut down the number of business operations that they have. They've sold off some of the shale gas operations overseas. They've potentially going to do a share buyback, which I think they did a few years back again, and not necessarily pay a dividend out to shareholders. They seem to be resizing and reshaping this business, and I think it's going to become a much leaner and more agile business. And I think there's, from the look of things right now, I think there's better margins coming for the business, especially in the iron ore side of it. And I think it's a great business. Technically, I think it's, it could potentially be breaking higher, and I think we might see a new high for the year.
Yeah, and that Shell gas asset is about $5 a share, the revenue they get from that. Thanks to our guests, Ricus Freitas from PSG Wealth, going with Sappy, Paul Chakaduka from GT247.com with BHP Billiton. We'll take more of your stock-related questions tomorrow. Have a good evening.